Welcome back, everybody, to the Giselle Show podcast with friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. Welcome to all our live listeners. We're so happy you're with us. And thank you to everybody for spread the word about our podcast. We have clips on our Facebook and with tweets. And you can point all your friends to our website, podcast.thegiselleshow.com. Coming up in this segment, we have Miss Vanessa McGrady is going to talk all about her fabulous life. And also, we're going to do more 100 words. And I'm going to tell a little story. But right now, I had a question for everybody. And that is, what is the best thing what have happened to you this week?
Well, I have an easy answer because my book came out this week.
Yeah.
So, thank you. So, it's been one of the highlight weeks of my life. I did a reading and a bunch of family and friends came, both in LA and New York. And so, it's still very thrilling. Every time I'm by a bookstore, I go in and I find my book. Sometimes I grumble about where it's placed, but most of the times I'm excited to see it. Yes, I've started to request that change it. Oh, yes.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
That's true. That is true.
Sir, please step away from the book display. Don't rearrange.
But mostly it's been just like you go in there and to see a book with my name on it is very exciting. So that's the best thing that happened to me
this
week.
That's great.
Thank you.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
To you.
I will say the best thing that happened to me last week was I was forgiven.
Oh.
Yes. I made a terrible gaffe at the kindergarten parents playgroup social circle. And somebody had... So I do a lot of feminist parenting writing, and I do a lot... I coined this term called micro-bullshit. When I see it, it's just like sometimes it's just a little thing, but I have... felt that, you know, if it pertains to my daughter or sexism on a very little scale, I feel like through your whole life that adds up to a lot of things. So I did call out one of these moms on a little micro bullshit thing that she did. She was talking about how one of the boys at the group was oh, he's such a little ladies' man kind of thing. And so I wrote back, and I didn't know, the worst thing was I didn't know these people, and I wrote back to the whole group of them, and I just said, can we please not, you know, romanticize this? And then unfortunately I doubled down when she wrote back to, you know, she was so nice, and she wrote back and I said, look, you know, but if it was a girl, like what would the girl be? The girl would be a slut. Why do we have to like put these, you know, romantic labels on it? Anyway, so I just did it so badly. I feel like my principal was there, but I just did it in such a terrible way. And so after several weeks of not hearing from this person, I did reach out again, and I said, look, I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you at our last thing. I'm so sorry again. And then she did forgive, and I did feel forgiveness. So I will say that is the best thing that happened all week.
Nice. Very nice. It takes a lot of courage to own up to when you have made a mistake and ask for forgiveness.
I definitely was in the wrong in how I went about doing that, for sure.
Yeah.
How would you have approached it differently in retrospect?
You know, I would say my major mistake was not going to her privately.
Yeah.
I just did a reply all. And really, I mean, they should have a warning button for reply all for almost every situation.
Yeah.
Really.
Like, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah,
again?
Are you sure? And then you have to take a math test. And then you have to, like, have a retinal scan or something. Because, I shouldn't have replied all.
Google, Gmail has two things that maybe you could... I don't know if you use Gmail, but one is an unsend button where after you send an email for, like, I don't know, 20 seconds, there's a little button that says, do you want to unsend this? It's the thing you have to turn on. And you'd be surprised at how much, like, just 5 extra seconds, like, oh, no, I didn't... I screwed
Absolutely.
Up.
My life trajectory would have been completely different if I had unsend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one is they have... I think they still have it, and it was, I think, half a joke, but it's called, like, for when you're drunk... And so you can turn it on for a certain time period, and you have to answer a series of math questions.
That's exactly
what you said. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so the theory being, if you're too drunk to answer these math simple math questions, you probably shouldn't be emailing. But it's another, like, barrier to, you know, on the third math question, maybe it might be like, maybe I should go back and look at this.
Can
this
I get
email.
One of those for my mouth?
I think Google is working on that now, but it's not out yet.
Google Tongue.
Yeah, Google Tongue.
It's amazing, that feeling. I've gotten more in trouble with that on Facebook around political stuff lately, where I really wish I hadn't done something, or I ended up inadvertently thinking I was making a very cogent political point, ended up insulting the other person. When I was like, it's amazing how much that can hurt. You can hurt your own feelings by doing that. I mean, you really feel shitty. So I to do that in a community must have been quite a feeling. So I.
Well, and the other thing that was very moving to me was people were just so fine and gracious, and nobody mentioned it in person. So I'm feel very humbled by that whole experience.
Well, it's an interesting, because it's, I think, a worthy point to be made, and a lot of times points aren't made because it's quote-unquote impolite. So I was curious, that's why I asked how you would handle it differently, because sometimes you want to make a point and you have to be. A lot of things that we're trying to make comments are, and the reason they stand is because it's against social mores to point out that someone screwed up or that this is a bit offensive because it's a tradition. Or so it's hard to know when to sort of be impolite, which is against your natural sort of inclination, particularly if you're going to see these people at your children's school all the time, but to also make a point that you feel is important.
Yeah, and in a way you kind of have to not care that... You know, I think you try to do it with the lightest touch possible, but you also have to be like, well, you know, this might come back on me, but at least I feel like I've spoken up.
Yeah. That's cool. Amos?
Well, it's been a rough couple weeks for me, and I suppose the best thing that happened came out of something that wasn't so good, and the best thing is that my family is seemingly healthy and content after a little bit of a health scare on the part of my dad. And so I made the choice to go back and hang out, and I'm really glad I did that. And that was a good thing. It brought up a lot of stuff that I don't want to deal with and that I have to deal with. So that, you know, it's in the context of some really heavy stuff, and even heavier stuff outside of that, that has nothing to do with my family. But, is so important. I have such a small family, and I guess I'm realizing that more now than ever.
Oh.
And I hope to honor that, and I'm grateful that I have some clarity on how much I care for them.
Mm. When you say it brought up stuff you have to deal with, do you mean relationship things, or you don't have to get specific.
If I look at it from me looking at my parents, which is the main thing, who's going to look up to me? As a single guy, I don't have that set in place. So that aspect of family is a little troubling. And then I have a sister who's mentally compromised, so I'm worried about that. I'm gonna start crying soon if we keep talking about this. So there's a lot of stuff. Then there's the logistics.
Right.
It's pretty fucking heavy, and I can barely handle my own. So, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But the other icing is that the Sharks made the playoffs. Mic drop.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Middle age.
Whew. Yeah, middle age.
And then I look around at so many people. Almost every person I have this conversation with, both of their parents are dead, or one is dead. Or very ill, and I, you know, fortunately have had both of my parents in very good health for so long, and they're still married, and so I got lots of pluses that have been checked. So I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think this kind of thing is not easy at all, ever, dealing with aging parents and family stuff and dynamic.
Yeah.
My mother have died, several years ago, and it was very big for me, the biggest thing in my life, I think, so far, in a way, and also very painful for a lot of different reasons, unfinished business, missing her, all kind of complex emotions. But sort of underneath it all, it feel very holy, the whole thing, the trouble of it, the pain, the love, the cellular connection that we have, biological, it all feels very holy because it's bigger than just me and my life. It's her. It's a lineage. It's people through from history down.
Exactly. It's eternal. That's why I actually wasn't going to I was going to say just the sharks until sitting here, I realized that really that's really what I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Is that whole thing. And that that just that the solid feeling of family. There's nothing like
it. There is nothing. And I think there's a lot of people who don't have that. Maybe mm-hmm. they had bad parents or something, or did not get to grow up with a good family. And so I feel very, very lucky to have a good mother for as long as I got to have her. Very blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's right. Thank you, Amos.
You're welcome.
The best thing that happened to me was this candy bar that I like was on sale 2-for-1. Oh. You do this deep meaningful yeah. thing. And, oh, I'm sorry. No, what happened was we had some guys come to the house to help build a shed in the backyard. And one of them, English was not the first language, but one of them speak okay English, the other one not English at all. And
did they speak German?
They did not speak German either. Oh. No, I tried everything. They didn't get it. But even so that we couldn't really talk, we communicated no problem. But beyond that, just communicating about the work that they were doing for me, we was laughing together and we started to sing together and we was having moments, you know, of actual camaraderie and rapport. And then I make lunch and we eat together and I had just a really good time with them and I felt like... it was nice to connect with people that I might on the surface go, I can't connect with that person. Mm-hmm. But then we had some nice connections. So that for me was the best thing.
Nice.
I like that. And the candy bar on sale, I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty good. I like a good deal. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Miss Vanessa McGrady, who I'm so happy to have with us. Vanessa is the author of a sustainable travel and lifestyle blog called Green Means Go Travel. She also has her website, vanessamcgrady.com, and she also is a contributor, is that how you say?
Mm-hmm.
To Forbes.com, where she writes a personal financing blog. She finances her own person. And she's here today to talk about all of it. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you turn your creativity toward practical matters.
Well, I try to be helpful. Ah. Let's say that. So, I mean, I, you know, honestly, I do wish that I had some kind of wildly artistic talent, like if I could paint, and I'm not a very good actress, and I'm not a very good singer, and you know, so I wish I had all of these other kinds of artistic talents, but I don't. But I'm a very creative person, and I also feel like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, where would you like to be in your life? And so I thought, you know, I got an opportunity to go on this trip. It was a socially conscious cruise to the Dominican Republic, and when you go, you do things like you help teach English, or you make water filters, or you pour concrete floors, and you help, you know, with women-owned businesses in the Dominican. But then you get to go back and drink a mojito and listen to the band on the cruise ship. So you don't have to sleep on the dirt floor or anything like that. So then I started thinking, well, you know, how do I, you know, what do I want to do in my lifetime? How would I like to live, especially I'm a single mom to a small girl, and you know, what do I want for her? And so then I thought, well, maybe I would like for her to go around the world and understand that snacks don't magically appear when you think about them, and not every kid has 100 books, and not every kid, you know, has their own room with butterflies on the wall. And so I started this blog because I just really wanted to be actively thinking and working toward having a more sustainable life, which I've always been interested in for many years. I've been doing sustainability work, but but also really on this grand scheme of things. So not only what are we doing at home, but what are we doing around the world and how are we helping to make it better than we found it?
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, I love that because you do have the creative spark and you turn it toward solutions, solutions and helping and social justice and this sort of thing.
Yeah, well, that's what the money part is too. So I have a personal finance column on Forbes.com, and I don't really talk about, you know, you should buy this stock and the ETFs and the rights, and like, I'm not talking about those things. I'm really talking about, you know, like how do you not waste money? How do you, get a better deal for college? You know, things like that, things that are very practical for families and people. And I just try to make money a very approachable subject. And I'm also very interested in side hustles. So how do people, how do people make money on the side? So maybe
what's the most interesting side hustle you've been hearing about?
You know, one of my favorite ones was this couple up in Canada. They were looking for a greeting card for her aunt and her aunt's partner who were getting married. There was two women getting married, and they could not find a same-sex congratulations wedding card. So they started their own company called Halifax Paper Hearts, and they started this greeting card company that includes everybody. So they have it, you know, for same-sex couples and for, you know, things that you don't, occasions that you wouldn't normally find a greeting card for. And so I think that was because they found a niche, and they really, instead of just saying, oh, maybe I'll just make one and done, they decided that, well, if I'm having this problem, maybe somebody else is having this problem. So that's what the best side hustles are.
What are some of their cards? Congratulations, you're a woman now.
Well, they have
right?
Well, they have like a really sweet one, which is like two gray-haired old ladies or two gray-haired old men on the cover, and it says, let's grow old together.
Aww,
you know, things like that.
That's
just
really
sweet. So that was one of my favorite side hustles that I covered this year. And then this other one, there was a, her name's Andrea Newberry, and she's a breastfeeding mom, but all the clothes for breastfeeding were super frumpy and horrible. So she just decided, I'm going to make my own. And so she started a line of clothing, and like they look really badass, but they have like strategic zippers and things like that, so she could do her breastfeeding. And that's actually her business. That's not just a side hustle now.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Hot breastfeeding clothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I could see. Does she work in L.A.?
She's out of Chicago.
I could see her being very popular with the celebrity ladies.
Oh, yeah. No, I think her business started to take off a little bit after the story. So that's the way I like to help people, too. Like, I really like to shine a light if, somebody has some
great
cool thing going like that.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So now this cruise that you went on, this sustainable cruise. Okay, I have to ask, there seemed to me a little bit of a discrepancy between cruising on a cruise ship, which uses up so much gasoline and oil or whatever it used, and is a little bit, not to put a fine a point on it, but pointless on a ship, and going to help out. Am I being too judgy?
I think that's a really legitimate question. And I think almost any job or any trip that you have or anything you do, you can do it in a better way.
Oh.
So it could be anything from like, if you are taking a cruise, what are you doing with the waste from the cruise? If you are, you're still going to have to get there anyway.
Yes. So
if you are spending time and money, how are you going to make that time and money count a little bit more? So this could be like the kind of cruise for people who would go on vacation anyway, but also it could be the kind of cruise for for people who want to do good and maybe wouldn't take a cruise otherwise. And here's the thing that I never understood, because I'm not a cruise person at all, but there's just something like really primal and beautiful about being analog and going on the water and getting somewhere in analog time, because I do feel like it sort of resets you on a cellular level. If you get somewhere on a plane, then it's almost like an artificial way. Mm-hmm. Like it tricks your body clock and it tricks your body. But something about as analog as, going on the ocean for several days, it's really kind of, I feel like it resets you in a cellular level. So yes, you're right that it's still using gas, et cetera. But also, what are you doing once you get there? What are you doing with your time? You know, so if you are, you know, having a workshop like a TED Talk or something about how to make the next generation of change makers, you know, maybe that is kind of an offset.
Yeah.
Of, you know, so it's really how do you offset it.
I like that. That's really good. You have a good answer for that. Did you end up, when you say what are you going to do with the waste from the ship, arts and crafts?
Yeah, there's a paper. So one of the things that we do there, by the way, that's called Fathom Cruises. But one of the things that we do there is like you make paper. All the offices donate their paper to these ladies who have a business, and they recycle it and they make beautiful art paper. I'll bring you some next time.
Okay.
It's really beautiful.
And you could, they should have you make earrings out of the bottle caps or something. Make a little chapeau out of those plastic clamshell things that your muffin come in.
Yes. Yes.
Little hat.
We'll send those suggestions along.
Yeah, thank you. Tell us, I know you was mentioning to us earlier that funny story of the emergency, what happened to you on the ship.
Well, I had a hair emergency. So I was about to have dinner, a very important dinner on the ship with the president of the cruise line and some very important people. And so, you know, when you're on the ship.
How did you swing that?
They invited me. They think I don't know. They thought I was important enough to invite. I don't want to tell them that they were, you know, maybe they thought I was somebody else. But anyway, so I got invited to this dinner. And so, you know, when you're in a cruise ship, you don't have to bring things with you. All you need to bring is like your little card. So you don't have a purse usually. So it's like 2 minutes to eight. And I said to my boyfriend, I was like, my hair, like, am I okay? Like, how do I look? And he says, honestly, your hair is a little, you're looking a little wild. So I look in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, what do? All I had on was a dress, a bra, my underwear, and my shoes. That's it. I didn't have anything. And it was like too late to run down to my room to do anything. So I'm standing there in the bathroom in the stall and I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? What would MacGyver do? What do I have available to me right now? And I look down and I think, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I took my underwear off and I folded it. And then I did it so the band was kind of stretchy. And I curled the thong part around. And then I made a scrunchie out of my underwear for my hair. And so it actually, I'm going to say it worked. Like I had an immediate updo. But that's just... And that's an example. I have a video, a how-to video on my website, greenmeansgotravel.com. But if you wanted to see that, but that was my story. And then in a way, that's a sustainable thing too, because it's really like using what you have to solve a problem.
Yeah. Do they only make sure you can bring one pair of underwear on this sustainable cruise? Give you a list of things you can use it for.
Then you would be washing it a lot, though, so you're wasting water.
Oh, that's true.
I wanted the other lady to come up to you and say, I just love what you have in your hair here. Can I see it? Oh, no.
Well, I was so afraid that I was going to end up with like elephant underwear on my head. Like, I just very afraid that it would fall out. Underwear on the plate.
Oh, luckily, gosh. That did not happen.
It didn't happen. No.
Phew. Very good. Well, we have prepare a little quiz for you. Can we have our quiz music? That song. Okay, you was recently on a quiz and you a travel person and you're very creative and MacGyver. Here is your quiz. If you get all of this right, you get a cookie. What is the capital of the Dominican Republic? I don't know. No. I don't know. You was just there.
I know. I want to say, oh my God, I'm blanking. I don't know. Next question.
Okay, we pass. We come back.
Do I get the cookie?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Okay. When on a cruise ship, is it better to go after before dinner or forward after dinner? And if so, where was you during dinner?
Is it better to go
afterward before dinner or forward before after dinner? Wait.
I would say afterward before. forward after dinner.
Okay.
Yes.
And if so, yes. Where was you during dinner?
It depends which night, but I was in the Ocean Grill sometimes during dinner.
That's correct.
That is correct. Good. All right. This one is how many you fly a lot for your travel sometimes. How many TSA agents does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Let's see. None, they're taking a break.
That's pretty good. I give you that. That's very good. The answer that we have come from the comedy author Dave Barry from his book, You Can Date Boys When You're 40. And he answers it 5. 1 to screw in the light bulb and 4 to strip search an elderly paraplegic woman for no reason. Thank you to Dave Barry. Okay, last question. Since you was able to use your thong in an emergency as a hair scrunchie, what would you use to make an emergency skirt?
A tablecloth?
Write a note with no pen.
Can I use lipstick?
Yes, you can. And finally, what would you use to carry a 1/2 pound of shrimp back to your room?
My boyfriend.
Yay! Or did you want to go back, circle back to what is the capital of the Dominican Republic? I will just tell you it is Santo Domingo.
I knew that. Yes, I knew that.
I'm just glad that you didn't carry your shrimp back in your underwear. That would have been a little weird.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thank you, Giselle.
Very good, very good. Just a quick shout out. We've been getting some wonderful tweets. Joseph Douglas Watson tweeted in that the best thing that happened to him this week was that an appointment of his was canceled so that he is able to listen live, which is so Woo-hoo. Sweet of him. And he's also listening with his mother, Lila. And so we say hello to Lila. Welcome. Nice to see you. And Tyson Sainer tweet in that the best thing that happened to him this week was he have a very positive doctor appointment. Now that I think about it, I guess it depends on what the issue was, because there are some issues you don't want to be positive at the doctor.
That's right. Yes.
But I guess that wasn't one of them. Right, Tyson? Yeah.
Typically, it's the test you don't want to be positive.
Right, but
you
appointment.
Get a positive appointment.
I wonder if he was like me with the guys in the backyard, if he started to
sing. Oh, he had lunch. Yeah, he had lunch with his doctor.
Sing a song. Really,
his doctor didn't speak English, and somehow they were able to communicate anyway.
Santo Domingo.
Very good. I have a story I wanted to tell you, and I thought that... Vanessa, you might be able to relate to this too, since you're a lady. And what it was, hold on, I'm getting to it. What it was, okay, so I read on the internet a while ago this story. And this was the story. My roommate got this hideous case of food poisoning. We're talking vomiting the whole 9 yards. And then she faints and turns really pale, so I call 911, and while I'm talking to them, my roommate wakes up and asks who's on the phone. I tell her it's 911 and she's going to the emergency room. She starts struggling to sit up. I say, what are you doing? She say, I've got to put on my makeup before the paramedics get here. I say, dude, you're sick. You passed out. It's okay not to wear makeup. She say, no, it's not fucking okay. People can't see me like this. Now put the phone down and get me my makeup bag. When the EMTs arrived, she was laying on the floor trying to curl her eyelashes. Because I have a friend, Elizabeth, who is the same way. She always is saying, you know, I can't leave the house without my face on. I don't have my face on. My face is not on. I need to put my face on. And I try to tell her, you got a face. It's right there. It's right on the front of your head. I can see it. You know, I'm looking right at it. She said, please, I'm a beast. I say, you're crazy. You look nice. Your friends and family, we all think you look nice. She say, that is because you and my family and my friends, the Zindergans' Domkapf. She say, you're all big stupids. I'm a gargoyle and I have to get my face on. So I was wondering, where do we get this idea that we can't leave the house without our face on or without makeup on, you know?
Well, I don't feel like I can't leave the house without makeup. But I feel like if I'm going to leave the house and somebody like Anthony will be there with a camera taking pictures, I probably want to have a little bit of makeup on.
But that's the thing. Like, we get this. See, Amos and Madison are here, and we take picture of them, and they don't feel. They get to feel and know that their face is just fine, just the way it is.
Hold on. I actually looked in the mirror on the way over and was, you know, because I don't. When I go out, I put product in my hair, and I didn't today, and I thought about it. So it's not face, I mean, it's hair, but it's there a little bit, but I am so goddamn lazy that there's no way I'm ever going to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's kind of me too.
But it's there a little bit for men,
because
I would
say.
Because
when I was a kid, I wanted to wear makeup. I could not wait because I see the ladies in the magazine and on the TV all pretty, pretty, and they have on a lot of makeup on top of their face, and they... Everybody liked them, and so I'm thinking, as I'm growing up, oh, I want to be pretty lady, and everyone will like me, and I cannot wait to put makeup on top of my face. My mother do it before work every day. Mm-hmm. So I say to her, you know, when can I start to wear makeup? And she say, not till you're older. So I wait a week. Mm-hmm. I ask her again, now can I? She said, no, not. I say, I'm a week older. She said, no, not till you're older.
I think men sometimes have the opposite, where it feels like you're extremely vain if you do anything to mm-hmm. improve how you look physically. So like I've had this, like I use moisturizer because I'm not a barbarian. And I've had discussions with guys that are like, that's crazy. Like, why would you do that? That's insane.
Have they seen your skin?
They have. But they don't know that I'm not putting the moisturizer on for today. I'm putting it on for 30 years from now.
Right.
Has some SPF in it. I don't want to get into it. It's a whole thing.
Do you have a beauty regimen?
Sure. Wash my face, put on, and you got to have different, you can't put SPF on before you go to bed.
Right.
Choke your skin. You got to put on a different kind of lotion for bed. So, I'm just describing how vain I am now, I realize.
You know, it's refreshing.
Thank you. But especially where I grew up in Colorado, I didn't have this added. Like, in Colorado, it felt like you had to be this kind of manly thing. And you just, like, kept your hair short. You didn't care what you wore. And you certainly didn't use moisturizer. And so it took me a while to be like, oh, it's okay to, like, want to look nice. So I think... The woman, not to say that men have it as hard as women, because I think it is much easier to just get out of bed and
but taking care of your skin, you get one face, you know. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with taking care of your skin. And then there's nothing wrong with, I mean, I feel like, you know, in nature you see plumage, you know, and you see colors and you see, you know, those kinds of things. I don't feel like, you know, for example, I love red lipstick. You know, and so I feel like if I wear red lipstick, I feel good and I feel like there's a certain power in it. So I feel like it's not really about what it's about. I don't think it's about, you know, oh, I can't go outside because I'm not wearing makeup. I think it's about other things.
Yeah. I think it's about, I mean, for me, it's about how I, there's a certain way that I like to be seen in the world physically. And, I mean, other ways as well, as far as professionally, but and so I want people to see me that way. And if I don't look that way, I'm not as content. But I'm so lazy that I don't care. And I would imagine it's the same, but a much more intense for a woman. So it's that thing of like it's a pressure that comes from the outside, but then you define what your boundary is.
Yeah, I think. For me, it was really happy when I first start to wear makeup, I feel good that I'm fitting in, doing what the ladies is supposed to do. This is my belief, you know. But then I start to feel bad. I start to feel like, hey, why am I not allowed to leave the house without makeup on? Why do I hear this little voice in my head saying, your face isn't good enough as it is? You know, that's what start to happen to me. And it feel like that pressure from outside get into to me. And then I realized, but that's not, I don't want to wear makeup. Why do I feel like I have to? It's a big hassle, makeup. Every time I put it on, then for the whole day, I'm worried about my makeup, you know? If I eat a burrito, I have to, oh, fix my makeup. And if I, you know, cry or something or laugh, and I know I have to fix my makeup. If the wind blow, I have to fix my way makeup. So I start to go without makeup. And it was really scary for me to go from the house without it. When I first start to do that, I thought, you know, people going to say, and then they're going to slap me or something. Huh. So, but no, nobody slapped me. That was the good news.
That's nice.
What do you think? I mean, when I was studying biology in college many years ago, I really thought there was a part of it that was a biological imperative. I mean, you look at, you know, you talked about plumage, and you look at baboons and their and the different colors on their rumps and stuff like that, and different primates and stuff like that, that looks like they've got mascara on their face and on their near their genitals. So it's like, what are we doing? Because some people look more like baboons or monkeys and primates in nature than human beings. But so I think there may be a biological imperative but the cool thing about being human, as you've just talked about, is that we, one of the special elements of our particular condition is that we can break some of those biological.
We don't have to put makeup on our genitals. Right. We can. we don't have to.
There's a website idea.
Yeah. Makeup on genitals.
That's a side
Wait
hustle.
A minute. You've heard of vajazzling, right?
Right. No. Yeah. There
I'm
we go.
Absolutely. You can have little rhinestones.
Glued?
I worked in Vegas for a long time, so I've heard about this.
Glue? I want those.
Yeah, little, you get, just like you can get scaped down there, you can have little.
But do they use glue or a staple
gun?
What?
No. I think it's some sort of, you know, stage glue.
Oh, like a stage glue, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
They call it vajazzling.
Wow, I want that.
I think the best thing would be to not do any scaping, but just vajazzle, so that when people are down there, they find little gems
little
in the forest.
Hidden treasure.
Oh my goodness.
Amos, will you treat us to a little lovely song?
Yeah, sure.
No, okay, great. That would be really nice.
House.
Yeah, a little song house.
Find a song in house.
Song in house.
Do I do it? Should I just go like that, maybe?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Do you want to put this one there?
Oh, okay. So I wrote this song a long time ago, possibly 25 years ago, like maybe 1990? 91? And I went through this phase of trying to write what I thought were, you know, kind of message songs, but for adults. And in a cutesy package. So I wrote maybe three or four, or maybe a half a dozen songs that I sort of called children's songs for adults. And this is sort of probably the best one out of all of them, and probably the first. It's called What's My Culture? Born and raised in America, the four food groups spoon-fed to me. Learned about life from the Brady Bunch. What's my culture, you tell me? What's my culture, you tell me? Suburban town, you can't be touched by what you see. Try to act tough while you mow the lawn. What's my culture, you tell me? What's my culture, you tell me? If I'm the most important person in the whole wide world, come my neighbors don't agree. We don't have much to talk about. I say me, 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 they say me, me. It's always me, 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 me. When I was a young boy, a man came to my window.
And he told me every day is holy. He said blue skies, clear waters, the tall trees rising up, the setting sun, the moon and stars. He told me every day is holy. Lips moving, but I could not hear a word he said, 'cause the TV was much too loud. What's my culture, you tell me? What's my culture, you tell me? What's my culture? What's my culture? What's my culture? Won't you tell me? What's my culture? Won't you tell me? What's my culture? You tell me. What's my culture? You tell me.
That was beautiful.
It's a cute song, isn't it?
Yeah, very nice.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Does anybody get the reference if I'm the most important person in the whole wide world?
Isn't that like an interstitial from the most important person in the whole wide world is you?
And you hardly even know you.
Right.
The most important person.
Wait, yes. What is it?
It was like this interstitial thing. Actually, I think it was for where I grew up, there was this thing called, like 10 kids would go, snippets! And it would come in between like Saturday morning stuff.
Was this kinda on,
like
on the TV?
Rock.
Yeah.
Or on television?
Like, was it PBS or was it?
No.
Anyways,
like time for timer,
it was like this thing. They would do that little theme song, and then they'd be like, "You're special because you are unique. Here's a way in which you are unique." And sometimes it was just about how human beings are interesting, but then other ones were more about how, you know, you can hopscotch, but you can skip stones. You know, like trying to bolster whatever positivity. But it was definitely, that was the generation of like the precious child and be free.
That's
and
why
be
we're
who you
assholes.
Are.
Basically.
We're so selfish and self-indulgent.
Indoctrination started so early.
Oh, that was great. We're going to take a little bit of a break right now. You can tweet to us at The Giselle Show, email studio at thegiselleshow.com, and everything else you can find at our website, podcast.thegiselleshow.com. When we come back, we have Madison Perry and the Creative Wheel of Death. You're listening to The Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends, and we will be right back.